assigned to us by the common lectionary comes from Luke's Gospel. It is a part of the story of John, known as the Baptist. John said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bear fruits that befit repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the multitudes asked him, "What then shall we do?" John answered them, "He who has two coats, let him share with he who has none. And she who has food, let her share with those who have none." Tax collectors also came to be baptized, and they said to John, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And John said to them, "Collect no more than what is appointed to you." Soldiers asked him, "And we, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Rob no one by violence or by false accusation, and be content with your wages." As the people were in expectation, and everyone questioned in their hearts whether John could be the Christ, John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, and the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So, with many other exhortations, John preached good news to the people. May God add understanding to the reading of that word. Would you join me in the spirit of prayer? Our Lord God, we bow before you in a moment of silent prayer, praying for ourselves, sharing our joys and our concerns, praying for our nation, for the President of the United States, and all elected members of Congress, all appointed officials, praying for our state, for the governor of Illinois, and all who are in legislative bodies, for the city of Peoria and for its mayor, and for all of our surrounding communities. We also pray for this world, too filled with darkness, with leaders who seem to act as if there is no judgment. Lord God, hear our silent prayers. Answer these prayers according to your will, but make us perceptive to your will as we go about the living of our lives. And in this third Sunday in the season of Advent, help us prepare our hearts and our minds for your return in whatever form it may take. And as we rush toward the celebration of Christmas, Lord, let us not forget what Christmas is all about. Lord God, speak to us. Let the words of John echo in our hearts. And may those things said this morning that are true be engraved upon every heart. And if anything is said that is false, may it be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name, we very humbly pray. Amen. The text for this morning that I invite you to reflect upon with me comes from the 11th verse of the Gospel of St. Luke. "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none." We've been looking at the Gospel as it is reflected in A Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens' novel. And as I reflect upon the events that are going on in the world today and in my own life, I have come to the conclusion that Ebenezer Scrooge is a transactional figure. A transactional way of life, it strikes me, is kind of like a Pop-Tart. It is a Pop-Tart for the soul. Nothing but a piece of cardboard with a dab of icing and maybe a bit or two of jam. It is spiritually malnourishing. When Scrooge gave, he gave grudgingly. He only gave what he was assured that he would get a greater return on his so-called investment. And he saw others not as children of God, but as pawns to be used for one's own purposes. They could be as disposed of as readily and easily as a used Kleenex. The thought that anyone could possibly be made in the image of God was completely foreign to him. He unapologetically indulged his own selfishness. And when asked for a charitable gift in the opening scenes of A Christmas Carol, he replied with a bit of sarcasm, "Are there no prisons?" he asked the benefactors. "Oh, there are plenty of prisons," he was told. And the union workhouses, are they still in operation?" "Oh, yes, sir, they are." "And the treadmill and the poor law, are they in full vigor?" "Both very busy, sir." "Oh, whew. I was afraid from what you said that something had stopped them from their useful course. I wish to give nothing. I wish to be left alone. I pay my taxes, and that is enough. And if some would rather die than go to the poorhouses or the treadmill, then they should die and do so quickly to decrease the surplus population." Scrooge's words would come back to haunt him because God has a wonderful sense of humor. You see, the teachings of Jesus calls us to something more than selfishness. Jesus invites us to live bigger lives. Jesus encourages us to live lives that are fit for a king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, as Handel's Messiah reminds us. And what does this something more look like? What's really quite simple. It's a four-letter word. It's one that you've heard before. Love. Jesus said that the world will know his disciples not by their style of worship, not by the songs or the hymns that they sing, not by the organs or the pianos or the guitars or the drums or the prayers or the liturgy or the vestments or the clothing or anything else. But Jesus said that the world will know his disciples by their love for each other and for the world that God created. In his letter to the Philippians, the writer defined this kingdom love in these words: "If then in our common life in Christ there is anything that stirs the heart, any loving consolation, any sharing of the Spirit, any warmth of affection or compassion, fill up my cup of happiness of thinking and feeling alike, with the same love for one another, the same turn of mind, and the common care for unity. There must be no room for rivalry and personal vanity among you, but you must humbly reckon others better than yourselves. Look to each other's interest, not merely your own." At its deepest and most profound level, all of us who have ever been in love knows that love means we look out for the other person more than we look out for ourselves. We look out for the other person even if so doing is at our own expense. You may recall last week that the ghost of Christmas Past approached Scrooge last week, And this week we look at the ghost of Christmas present. And Scrooge was terribly confused when the clock chimed once and the ghost of Christmas past was gone and the ghost of Christmas present was there. He did not understand how two things could happen simultaneously. He did not understand that he was having a mystical experience of sort. He was experiencing a time when the eternal and the temporal were tangent to each other. They touched for just a moment, and yet that moment was also a lifetime. The ghost of Christmas past showed him scenes of his brokenness. The ghost of Christmas present would show him both his poverty of heart and the treasures of what real love looks like. It was when he visited the home of his clerk, Bob Cratchit, that underpaid, underappreciated clerk, that his bah humbug, let them die and decrease the surplus population, took on body and soul. It did so in a tiny, crippled child named Tim. It was Tim that began to melt the coldness of Scrooge's frozen heart. There are several scenes. One that I believe is most memorable is when Bob Cratchit comes home from the Christmas evening worship service after carrying Tim the whole way home from the church. And he took his wife aside and he spoke very quietly to her so none of the children could hear. And he said to his wife, somehow Tim gets thoughtful sitting by himself so much, and he thinks the strangest things you've ever heard. You know, he told me coming home tonight that he hoped that people saw him in church because he was a cripple. And it might be pleasant to them to remember upon Christmas Day the one who made lame beggars walk and blind men see. The prophet of the Old Testament said, and a child shall lead them. And so it is. Tiny Tim may have been crippled in body, but Scrooge was crippled in soul. Scrooge's heart was dead. And so that begs the question for us to consider this morning. How is our heart? As Scrooge was whisked away from Cratchit's very humble home, the ghost of Christmas present reminded him of his own callous words. If Tiny Tim die, he'd better do so quickly and decrease the surplus population. Scrooge hung his head in shame, penitence and grief, as he heard his own words quoted back at him. And then the ghost of Christmas present continued. Man, he spit, almost as if the mere mention of Scrooge's name was too disgusting to cross his lips. If man you be, will you decide who shall live and who shall die? It may be that in the sight of heaven, you are more worthless and less fit to live than millions like this poor man's child. Oh, God, to hear the insect on the leaf pronouncing on too much life among his hungry brothers in the dust. Advent is a season of preparation. We are preparing ourselves by doing a spiritual and moral inventory for the return of Christ into this world in whatever form that second coming may take. And as we prepare for the second coming of Christ, we are also asked to prepare for the celebration of Christmas. And Christmas, as I told the children, is not about trees and lights and wreaths and presents and parties and open houses and hot chocolate and caroling. It is about none of those things. Christmas is about true riches, riches that are not found in the accumulation of stock portfolios or goods and wealth, but rather in extravagant, prodigal love. As the ghost of Christmas present prepared to take his leave, Scrooge noticed something that he had never seen before. At the foot of the Spirit's robe appeared to be a foot or maybe a claw. It was protruding from the bottom of the robe. And so Scrooge asked the ghost of Christmas Present about it. And the ghost pulled back his robe and revealed two huddled children that Dickens describes as wretched, abject, frightful, hideous, and miserable. They were huddled at the feet of the Spirit. One was a boy, the other was a girl. So startled was Scrooge at what he saw, at what the Spirit had revealed, that he stepped back and drew his breath. And then he said, "Spirit, are they yours?" "No," the Spirit replied. "They are yours. They are humanity's. The boy is ignorance. The girl is want. Beware of them both. But most of all, beware of the boy, ignorance. For on his brow is written the word doom." All through the ages, the words of the prophet known as the Baptist reverberates as clearly today as it did when they were first spoken in Palestine 2,000 years ago. "Whoever has two coats must share with someone who has none, and whoever has food must do so also." To God be the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen.